I want to talk to you just a minute before we get started this morning on the message, because I want to bring it to you from a little bit different perspective. Most of you know that my ministry deals mainly with young people. And as I was asking God and praying about where He would have me to be on this day, where He would have me in His Word that I would preach, it kind of stepped me away from the typical Father's Day message. Now, the typical Father's Day message that I'm talking about is one where the preacher stands up and just blisters all the men in the church for an hour to try and help us straighten up for a couple of weeks and then go on about our business. But just so you'll know, I'm going to get to that part. But we're not going to start there. We're going to start somewhere a little bit different. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, as a matter of fact. Now, if you see me flipping pages up here, it's because I'm preaching with a steno pad instead of my normal notebook up here. Because sometime yesterday afternoon in the middle of my sermon preparation, I got that little error message on your computer screen that we all love to see, the one that says fatal hard drive error. And so everything just kind of went away for a while. And so immediately I went to scribbling it out on a piece of paper. So if you see me flipping something up here, it's just a steno pad. I'm just trying to keep up with where I'm supposed to be, because at the time I didn't know where I was. So verse number, we're going to start right there in chapter 6, verse number 1. How many of you have had to memorize this verse? Just raise your hand. Yeah. Say it with me. Children, obey your parents. How many times did you hear that? All right, I want to do a little survey here first before we get started too far into this, because we're going to continue on with our preaching. But I want every young person in the auditorium this morning, age 12 and up, to stand up. Okay, let me clarify. How about every young person in the room between the ages of 12 and 25? All right. Now, take a look around, people, and see all these young people that are standing up. Now, I want to do something, and I want to show you a contrast here. If you are 16 years of age and older, have a seat. All right, look around the room now. You want to know a startling statistic? In the age group between 12 and 25, the people that you saw standing first against those you see standing now are the number of kids that we lose out of our churches before they hit college. Have a seat. There are some reasons behind that. And it doesn't all lie on the parents. So let's look now at this section of Scripture, chapter 6, verse 1, as I read it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, how it speaks to our hearts and to, Lord, it opens us up in such ways that we can only give credit to you. Now, God, I pray that you would help us this morning as we look at this short little section of Scripture. And as we examine our lives, that we might be able to see what you would have us do today. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray that you would just take me out of the way, that everything that's said would be that which you would have said. In Jesus' name, amen. Matt and I were talking last night when I was telling him about my computer crash. And I said, you know what? There was probably some things in there that I just didn't need to say. And God decided that was the best way to take care of it. Because then I couldn't get in the flesh because I just wouldn't remember what to write down. So I think that what God has shown me in this small passage of Scripture is going to be something that can be helpful to each one of you this morning. Now, this section of Scripture actually is a part of a whole larger set of Scriptures. Now, we don't want to just take these little four verses right where they are and start there, because actually Paul started this concept way back in chapter 5. Because as he started in chapter 5, he began to talk to us about our own responsibilities and our relationship to God, and how that we should bring ourselves together, and how we should be filled with the Spirit, and being Christians to be drawn away from those other things that were so apt to destroy us. The fornication, the covetousness, those things that were there underlying in the Galatians, who they were living that way, and even into us today. And so Paul, as he went down through there, he continued on and he brought us down to the family unit, explaining how husbands and wives' relationships ought to be. Wives submitting unto their husband, husbands following after Christ. And then this section of Scripture comes up right after that, so it's clear to see that Paul is just continuing a progression to show us how the family unit ought to work. And so we're going to look this morning at a certain area, and we're going to look at children and obedience. Now, Paul starts out here with four different reasons why you ought to obey your parents. Now, the good thing is everybody in this room, everybody without exception, has at one time been a child. There is nobody in here that can say, not me, not when it comes to that. And so we can all understand what God wants us to learn right here. Paul gives us four reasons why we ought to obey. And the very first one starts out in this first verse when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The first reason that we ought to obey is because we're Christians. And it's the Christian thing to do. Now, the word obey here comes from a Greek word, akouo. Now, some of you that said Greek, you understand what that means. That just means to hear. Now, when they add the prefix hupa to the front of it, it actually means to hear under. And so the meaning of the word here is to hear under authority. So when we obey, we have to submit ourselves, what Paul was talking about earlier in submission, we have to be willing to submit ourselves to authority. Now that's one of the hardest things that we face. Because we want to set a point in our lives where we can say, I don't have to do that anymore. I'm my own man. I make my own decisions. But the fact is not only should we be submitted to our authority, when I say authority, I'm talking parents here in particular, but the Bible principle that's given over in 1 Peter says that the younger ought to always submit unto the elder. There's actually no point in our lives that we ought not be submitting to someone. Now, I guess there's that one rare exception. If you turn out to be the oldest person in the world, but, you know, I've seen recently that that person that holds that title normally doesn't hold it very long. Okay, so, you know, I don't think you ought to be holding out for that. Let's go ahead and worry, and not worry, but let's go ahead and commit ourselves to submission now. That we would submit ourselves to authority. And like I said, that's one of the hardest things for us to do. I can remember as a child, when I turned 18, my thoughts were, I'm 18, you can't tell me what to do. I found out quickly that my dad could tell me what to do. He didn't care if I was 18 or 48, because he still tells me what I ought to do sometimes, and you know, I still listen to him. Sometimes I don't do it the first time. And then later in life, I go, man, I wish I had just listened to what he said. But children ought to obey their parents because it's the Christian thing to do. Now, if you submit yourself, first of all, to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes submission to other authorities easy. Because we understand that under the Lord, if we have received Him as our Savior, if we are in His family, as we submit ourselves unto Him, it's easier for us to understand love and submission to authority. See, the Lord is our authority. He's given us His Word. We understand what it says in some places. Some places we're yet to understand it. But we'll never understand what God has planned for our life until we submit to His authority. The second reason that we should obey our parents is it's right. It's just right. Do you know that God has ordained in nature the way things ought to be? Even in animal life, younger obey the parents. It's not really until it gets to human life that the independence part of it ever takes precedence in those lives. You don't see young animals running around trying to be independent of their parents. But yet you see children running around trying to be independent. There is a righteous thing that comes from doing right. See, God asks us as Christians that we would follow after our authority. And when we follow after our authority, we will do those things that are right in their eyes. Now, let me give you an example. I have on several occasions, you know, I've had my own business. I was an electrician for quite a while. But on several occasions, I've worked for other people. I thought that the right thing to do was for me to treat that business as if it was my own. And to work hard for those people, for my boss, just like I would be working for myself. But I found out that's not right. Because that's not my business. That's his business. And the right thing for me to do is to work under his authority, doing what he asked me to do. Not necessarily whether I think it's right or not. See, it's hard for us when we get in that job situation for our boss to say, hey, I need you to do something, and we know in our mind it's not going to work. We just know, man, it's going to flop. It's going to flop. And I'm going to be the one that flops on it. I'm going to be the one that looks bad. But our responsibility is to do right. To obey because it's right. Hey, you know what? If you're doing something that your boss tells you to do and it flops right on top of you, it's not you. You did what you were told. You may catch the blame, and how you handle that goes back to your Christian attitude not passing the buck. Logic says that as parents brought children into the world, and since they have more knowledge and wisdom than that child, then the child should obey. Now, some of you have heard the philosophy of the great philosopher Bill Cosby, who has a little bit of a different spin on that take, where he says, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. But I saw a quote the other day that I think is so fitting, and being a dad, I can understand how it works here. And you men ought to see this same thing. It said that by the time that we're old enough to realize that our fathers were right, we usually have kids old enough to tell us that we're still wrong. See, we ought to obey our authority, whether it's parents, whether it's our bosses, because it's a Christian thing to do, because it's right. See, Paul continues on, though, and he says, not only should you do it because it's Christian, not only should you do it because it's right, but children, you ought to obey your parents because it's commanded. It's commanded. Paul says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, Paul is speaking of the principle that's implied in the Ten Commandments, to honor thy father and thy mother. Now, honor is much more than obedience. Actually, honor is a byproduct of obedience, because honor requires a whole lot more than just doing what you're told. I know as a teenage boy, and actually even now, when somebody tells me to take out the trash, I never want to do that. I never have wanted to do that. And when my mom would say, hey, you need to take the trash out, I would take it out. Obedience, but no honoring. See, it's possible for us to obey and not honor. See, because honor requires a lot more than obedience. Honor shows love. Honor shows respect. Honor shows reverence. Obedience falls out of honor. We obey because we honor. Paul says that this is the first commandment with a promise. Now, being a commandment, and some people here may say, well, you know what? That's Old Testament. That's an Old Testament commandment. We don't necessarily have to follow that. But Romans 8:4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, there's a righteousness of the law that brings out the holiness of God. See, Paul said that he wouldn't know what sin was had it not been for the law. Paul understood that though he was now saved from the law, saved from the bondage of the law through grace in Christ, he understood that that righteousness that was displayed from the law showed the holiness of the one who made it. Did you know that 9 of the 10 commandments are actually repeated in the New Testament epistles? They're repeated for New Testament believers to follow. So there's no difference in a New Testament believer that dishonors his parents than an Old Testament Jew would have been in dishonoring his parents. Honor is what we must have. Paul says that it's the first commandment with a promise, and there's 2 promises that are actually given here. And the first promise says that it may be well with thee. If we honor our parents, it'll be well with us. Young people, let me ask you a question. When do your parents nag you the most? Is it when you're being obedient? Or is it when you're being disobedient? Sort of easy to figure out there, isn't it? Parents only, as long as children are doing what they're told to do, there's no continual, there's no rah, 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 rah. Except for when we disobey. It says that it may be well with thee. Just simply means, hey, you want strife? You want the arguing? You want the things that go along with dishonoring your parents to go away? Honor them. And it'll be well. Secondly, it says that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, parents, we understand what that verse means. Because we've been there when we just wanted just to kill them. But we know we can't get away with it. But the fact is, do you know that the Old Testament law was a rebellious son could be taken out and stoned? That ended a life pretty quick. Now, I know in my own life, and I would venture to guess there's others of us sitting out here in the pews today that had that tradition been carried on, there's a lot of us wouldn't be here this morning. But it says that we may live long on the earth. Now, let's look at living. Well, most of the time when we see the words live long, we think about quantity. We think about how many years this is going to be. We think about an extension of years, but to live, can it also mean quality? See, not only can it extend the length of time, but the quality of your life. Young people, you say, man, my parents fuss at me and carry on all the time. Hey, do this tonight. Start honoring them. See if the quality of life doesn't go up. By honoring your parents and obeying them and listening to what they have to say, you know, they may keep you out of a lot of sin. They may keep you out of a lot of situations that very well could shorten your life. My dad is 82. I was thinking about him last night. Most of you know that several years ago, he had one of his legs amputated. Circulation issues. Now, my dad is a diabetic. They didn't remove the leg because of diabetes, more or less. They removed it because of circulation issues. My dad had open heart surgeries. They had taken veins out of the legs. You know all the complications that can end up with that. Ended up having to take one of his legs. My dad's mind is not 100% of the time. Now, I can understand that because I'm only 48, and my mind's not 100%, even 50% of the time. My dad has had some seizures. He's had some other things, that some health issues and things that really keep him from being able to do the things that he wants to do. My mom cares for my dad in everything. Now, some of you who've met my mom know my mom is also 82 years old. She weighs about as much as JJ. And she's not much taller. She's a little bitty, skinny, frail thing. But she does everything that my dad needs her to do for him. And she is very concerned about leaving him at home by himself. And so there's a lot of times, if she's going to be gone for an extended period of time, she'll call me and she'll say, "Can you ride by and check on your dad?" My dad hates that. Because he feels like I'm babysitting him. And he's 82 years old, you know. He doesn't need a babysitter, is what he tells me. And he just feels like I'm wasting my time. I'm not able to do things that I want to do or that I should be doing because I'm just spending time over with him. And you know, there's a lot of times that I go over there and I spend time with him that he'll stay in the bed the entire time I'm there because he's weak, he's tired. A lot of times he just doesn't feel good. My dad has COPD, he doesn't breathe well, and it's tiring for him. So a lot of times he'll stay in the bed. A lot of times he'll be up, he'll sit in that chair and he'll watch TV and we'll sit there for 2 hours and seldom say a word. Because that's just my dad. But there's times that I can talk with him and I can tell him a joke and he'll laugh and we can laugh together. And that moment makes all those other times worth it. See, my dad didn't teach me how to hunt, though he taught me how to use a gun. He didn't teach me how to fish, though he took me fishing. Now, you say, how did he take you fishing and didn't teach you how to fish? My dad used to take me fishing at a catfish pond that a friend of his owned. We'd get out there and spend about 3 hours just throwing chicken livers in on a hook with no results out of it. Then the guy who owned the pond would come out and feed the catfish, and then you could catch them in a net, you know. That was the way my dad taught me to fish. So he didn't teach me how to hunt. He didn't teach me how to fish, but my dad taught me how to do things, like use my head, think things out. He taught me how to use my hands and to work on things. He taught me how to love. He taught me how to laugh. He taught me how to live. My dad didn't take me to church. My dad didn't make me go to church. My dad's very seldom been in a church. But he taught me how to live. And we'll go over to my parents' house today after church. And we'll sit around and we'll laugh and we'll eat and I'll eat and they'll stop and they'll fuss at me because I'm still eating. But when we get ready to leave there this afternoon, I'm going to walk up like I always do. My dad will be sitting in his chair and I'm going to kiss him right on top of the head. And I'm going to say, "I love you, Dad." And my kids are going to do that too. Because that's what he taught me. And that's what I taught them. And that's honoring. Because see, when I honor my father, I don't just do it for my appearance. I honor him. And I do that so that he gets the honor. That is what keeps me long on this earth. Not quantity, quality. Now, dads, here comes our part. See, obedience for children is the Christian thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's commanded to do. And there's blessings. But then, Dad, verse 4 says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, when I read that, the first thing I think of is don't make your kids mad. But you know, that's not what Paul says. Paul says, provoke not your children to wrath. If we look and consider the culture in which Paul was living in that day, the Roman men had total authority over their entire family. When a baby was born, the baby in the Roman family would be brought in and laid at the feet of the father. If the father reached down and picked that baby up, it meant that the baby was accepted, that it would be part of the family. But if he refused to pick that child up, the child could be sold. The child could be given away. The child could be allowed to be just placed out in the elements and die from exposure. Paul is saying, dads, don't use your authority to abuse your children. Now, I wouldn't consider myself to be an abusive parent, and I hope there's no one in this room this morning that would be an abusive parent. But as I was preparing for this message, I had to do a little more thinking about what abuse could be considered. Do you know that we abuse our children when we say one thing and we do another? Because they see an inconsistency in our life. Something that we're trying to correct in their life that we have no desire to correct in our own. You know, when I had all those young people stand up at the beginning and I told you to look around and see how many of them had left or would be gone by the time they reached their college years, do you know that out of the top 10 reasons that kids drop out of church, the third reason down, and when I say the third reason down, all of these percentages, 1,000 kids surveyed all the way across the country, no particular background, no particular denomination, all across the country, all of them came up between 5 and 11%. I mean, so there wasn't a huge thing that you could say, that's the problem, let's fix it. The number three reason that children leave the church is hypocrisy. They don't see, my parents aren't doing it. You know, it's not a concern that my parents go back to church on Sunday night. They're not concerned with going back to church on Wednesday night. You know what that says to kids? Prayer is not important. That says the Word of God is not important. It says being in the house of God, encouraging others and being encouraged by others isn't important in our life. That's for others. That's when we discourage our children instead of encourage. That's abuse. I sat there last night at my desk with tears in my eyes thinking about things that my kids have brought to me, drawings, paintings, and I'm sure everybody's got these. And how you look at it and you go, oh, that's nice. But you tend to make light out of something that they've done that they feel is important. That's abuse. See, we take it and we take our children's minds and their lives and we say, you know, you'll get it all worked out. We're grown-ups. You'll be a grown-up one day. You'll understand. Instead of taking the time to do what Paul says, because he says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them. Talk with them. Ask them about what the preaching was about. Ask them what they learned in junior church. Ask them what their Sunday school lesson was about. Take the time that when they bring that verse and they say, hey, I'm trying to memorize this verse for Sunday school. Dads, take the time to take that piece of paper and encourage them. So many times I've let that opportunity slip. God's will, by His grace, I'm not going to let it happen anymore. Because that's nurturing the children. That's teaching them. That word nurture also has the idea of discipline. Sometimes, for our children to understand, discipline is required. But for discipline to really work, we got to be disciplined. We have to be disciplined. Dads, we've got to. As hard as it is sometimes, when we administer discipline, it has to be in love and not anger. Because when we discipline in anger, we kill their spirit. And I sit here and I'm telling you this, not saying, wow, Brother Ricky must be a super dad. No. God gave me this. Because this is something I needed in my life. And if I need it, I'm pretty sure somebody else out there does too. So nurturing and admonition. Admonition goes along with the nourishing. It's teaching, but not necessarily with just actions, but with words. Hey, how many times, guys, do you take your Bible? Or read your Bible during the day and your kids are around at night and say, hey, let me tell you what God showed me today. It's rare that I do that. I might share it with Matt. I might share it with the preacher. Hey, you know, I was reading my Bible this morning and I got this out of it. And I never go home and think about sharing it with my family. Sharing it with my children. If I want them to learn what God's Word says, I need to be willing to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Teach them His Word. Dads, it's our responsibility to raise our children. We can put off as much of it as we want to on mom. She can do the schooling. She can do the teaching them how to do this. But when it comes right down to it, it's our responsibility. Everything they learn, problem is, are we willing to take the steps of action that's required to be dads? It doesn't take a lot for a man to be a father. But it takes a lot for a father to be a dad. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.